we like to do treatment details before case acceptance, so we just word vomit the who, the what, the why, the how, the where of what we're going to do on them before they even consider. And that sounds like sales, that sounds like convincing someone, and that typically is not how patients want to buy or perceive their dentistry.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Little concept clarity today. Treatment acceptance comes after treatment details. No, that's not correct. Treatment details come after case acceptance. So we're going to talk about that today. Super pumped. Hey, if you're not on the app, go join the app. 3D Pro, 3D Dentists on the App Store. It's free. Just come join the fun. Join the conversation. So Adrian had a question. She posted on the app. And we've had some good conversation about it. I was like, you know what? This is a great podcast topic. She says, I need a little clarity. If treatment acceptance comes before treatment details, I want to reinforce it, but need a little deeper understanding. Yeah, so y'all have heard me say this before. And the way I would say it is case acceptance comes before treatment details, or treatment details come after case acceptance. But the idea is that we've got to be careful about not giving away, not going into a diatribe of treatment details, the who, the what, the where, the how, the why of what it is that we're going to do until the patient's ready to say yes. This is a struggle for a lot of young doctors. And that's kind of where Adrienne's conversation comes up, because she has a new associate that's joining her practice. And there's a natural tendency, and I've been watching one of my associates, shout out to Dr. Z, who he's been doing this a lot, where, you know, you'll see a patient and you will see, let's call it recurrent decay on number 30 on a crown, or recurrent decay on an MOD, and they're going to, in theory, in quotes, if you're watching in video, need a crown. And so what we do is we say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, I want to talk about this tooth on the lower left. I don't know, or the lower right. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. You got a big filling and you have a cavity underneath there. The cavity is such a way that, like, we're going to have to treat this tooth. We're no longer going to be able to replace a filling. We're going to have to use a crown. The good news is we can make those crowns here. We use a thing called CEREC. It'll be made out of the same good quality material. That material is zirconia. And we'll do that, and we could do it in one visit for you. Would you like to get scheduled? That's an example of treatment details come before case acceptance, meaning we haven't even had a conversation about whether the patient's actually going to, do they even want to fix the problem? And I think this stems from kind of this, like, classic 90s, early 2000s, or even going back to the 80s probably, of this mentality of, like, the doctor is here to tell you what you need to do. And then if you don't want to do it, I'm supposed to educate you into thinking, hey, this is what you want to do. And so the logic here is that now all of a sudden the script kind of flips. Mrs. Jones, you've got a cavity on this tooth on the lower right underneath the filling. Would you like to get this fixed? Now think about, let me pause there. Think about, one, how nice this is now, the conversation from a standpoint of you getting back to the operatory to keep working on what you're doing, getting to the next hygienist, like your efficiency standpoint comes into so much faster when you get to kind of brass tacks sooner without trying to feel the need to overwhelm or educate the patient with the details. And I think from a young dentist perspective, we do this because we're insecure in our ability to just talk to patients about what they need. And so the way we get around that is we have to talk a lot, use lots of big words in order to get the patient to be like, oh, I should do this or not do this. But if I just say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you have a cavity under the filling on your tooth in the lower right, would you like to fix that? Now all of a sudden I have the opportunity to achieve case acceptance. Now, again, case acceptance in this mindset is a little different than your traditional way of case acceptance, which is that the patient says yes to actually doing the dentistry. What I'm talking about case acceptance is, does the patient even want to do the dentistry? Then we'll kind of move on to, like, the next layer of case acceptance, which is, do they get scheduled? Do they pay to have it fixed? And so I want to talk about this kind of in both ways. So, and I want to use this is, I think this is just a good example, because you've got a patient who has the recurrent decay. You have this patient that has a number of broken down or older amalgams in a quadrant. And so you say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you've got a couple teeth in your lower right that have restorations that are breaking down and no longer doing what they were put there to do. Would you like to fix them? If the patient says yes, or they ask, well, what does that look like? Now, all of a sudden, we are moving into case acceptance, meaning at this point, now I get to offer some level of treatment details. Now, I only am going to, on some level, tell them what they need to know based off my legal responsibility. I'm not trying to educate them on the minimal thickness of EMAX, how many megapascals they can handle, how much reduction I'm doing on the tooth, what my buildup material is, and how I'm going to bond it to the enamel versus dentin. Like, that is not what's necessary here. And so if Mrs. Jones says, yes, yeah, what does that look like? That's a great question, Mrs. Jones. What we'll do is we'll take out the old filling, we'll clean up the decay, and we'll put something on the tooth that covers and protects the tooth. It'll look just like your other teeth. Well, what is that? That is called in our world a crown. Well, can I get a filling? Unfortunately, Mrs. Jones, you can't get a filling on this tooth anymore. And that's it. Like too often, do we answer this question of, hey, can you just fill it? And now I have to, instead of just saying the two letters that are so impactful of no, or you can be nicer and say, unfortunately, Ms. Jones, we can't. Why not? There's not enough tooth structure to support a filling. Well, can you just try? Unfortunately, I can't. I wouldn't do that to my tooth. I'm not going to do it to yours. Like, we don't have to get talked into these things, and we don't have to go into all these details. And that's, I think, when I'll walk by the operatory sometimes and I'll hear like Dr. Z, then I pick on him because he's new. He's doing a great job. Fabulous job. He'll get that question. And then now it's like, oh gosh, now I got to start to really go into the details and start. And that's where we end up not doing well. So less is more in this situation. So the idea is, again, that case acceptance comes before the treatment details, or treatment details come after case acceptance. And so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail until the patient wants to say yes. Let me give you another example. We'll grow out of our single tooth. Now, I want to go back. I'm getting excited. Y'all can tell I'm getting excited. Let's say the patient says, I think I'm good. So my first example was, do you want to fix this? They said, I don't think so. Now, this is where it's okay for us to transfer concern in the hope that some level of concern and education will help move the patient into wanting to say, okay, well, what does it look like to fix the tooth? So that communication would look something like this. Mrs. Jones, totally get that. What I do want to let you know is that this is concerning to me. If left untreated, there's a good chance this is going to end up with a larger problem, something maybe like a root canal, potentially even losing the tooth down the road. When it becomes a concern to you, just let us know. Well, whoa, 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 I don't want to lose my tooth. I don't want a root canal. Why are you concerned about it? Now, all of a sudden, these are buying questions. Like, this is in theory case acceptance to now I can start to, yeah, absolutely, Mrs. Jones. Like, it's a cavity. The cavity will continue to get bigger. Like, this is the best time to treat it. Well, what's it going to cost? Beautiful. Beautiful. You see how, like, it's a funnel that we don't give them. We don't need to give patients everything until we get to that point where they start to ask questions, and that's when we move them down the funnel. We like to do treatment details before case acceptance, so we just word vomit the who, the what, the why, the how, the where of what we're going to do on them before they even consider. And that sounds like sales, that sounds like convincing someone, and that typically is not how patients want to buy or perceive their dentistry. Now, another example of this would be like a missing tooth. Mrs. Jones, I notice you're missing this tooth. That's kind of an important one. Would you like to replace it? No, I think I don't really miss it. Totally get it, Mrs. Jones. I do want you to know that if left untreated, there's a good chance the tooth above it's going to move down. It can cause problems between the adjacent teeth there. You'll probably start to pack food if you're not already, and ultimately cause some other issues. Ideally, if we can make it happen at some point, what I would tell you, that's a great tooth to get back. At what point that becomes a concern to you, you just let us know. That is my ethical responsibility to transfer concern and education to a patient in regard to doing something. Now, if I ask the question like, hey, do you want to straighten your teeth? And it's like, or straighten your tooth, and there's like no clinical benefit outside aesthetics, then I don't necessarily have to say any of this stuff. But if there's legit clinical health benefits, then it's our job to transfer concern and a level of education through what happens if we don't treat it. Patients like you that have had this situation happen, left untreated, this happened. That's fair to do. Those are important things. Yes, if you'll do this, I'll push it through. Hey, I'm on the clock on both ways here now, so I got to call in some meds. Now, so a patient, let's say now, and they're like, hey, yes, I want to fix this. I want to replace this missing tooth. Great. Mrs. Jones, there's three ways to replace this missing tooth. Option one is you can have something that comes in and out of your mouth. Most people don't want that. Option two is we could do a bridge. That's where we cut down the other teeth on the side. Option three, which is what I think is the best, what most people go with, is we do something called a dental implant. Same thing. Now I got to get treatment. It's like layered case acceptance is what this is, right? Because now I have to get case acceptance around, first was, do you want to replace the missing tooth? Now the case acceptance is, do you want the implant, bridge, or partial? And then once they do the implant, now I can give them the logistical treatment details there. Great. So what the process will look like is we'll have you in next week. We're going to put the dental implant part in. That part will just be underneath your gums. We'll let that heal for a couple months, and you'll come back and you'll get the tooth in 4 months. Do you have any other clinical questions for me? Like, that's the extent of, I don't tell them I use a BioHorizons Tape and Fro 4.2 by 12. It's got laser lock, micro threading, and we're going to use a 2 millimeter Tyvase Screw-Tain Emax Crown A1 LT. They don't need all that. Less is more. Less is more. So to me, this is a really, really important part. And again, I think new dentists, we struggle with this because it's a little bit, I think, of imposter syndrome. Like, I've got to prove myself and educate to you why you should do something versus just saying it concisely and confidently and getting out of the way and then answering the questions that the patients ask. To me, that is the real kicker here. I think this is a great podcast episode to have your associates listen to. I want to keep it short. And you have a discussion on what this looks like in your practice, because to me, it is a game-changing reality when you start to just present the options to the patients. You work in some influential communication in a way that helps guide patients to their best interests, because that's ultimately what our responsibility is. And then you don't overwhelm them with the details until they ask. And what I tell my team and what I tell the dentists that work with us is we will be transparent to a fault, like no other dentist. I will tell them everything, but only when they ask. And so if you don't ask the questions outside of what I think we're ethically, legally responsible to inform patients of, I'm not going to go into a ton of details. Like when I go and get my oil changed, like I just want to know, like, can you fix it? What's it cost? How are you going to pay for it? Like, it's the same normal things. And then I let them fix it. It's no different. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed this episode. Yeah, work smarter, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.